Amen. I always enjoy hearing Brother Chad sing. Amen. Well, can you imagine the price that was paid? It's good to have Brother House with us this morning. Brother House has been in the ministry over 47 years. I told him he's just getting started, right? Amen. Brother House has been speaking at our church, I believe, ever since we started, every year for the last 9 years, and has done our stewardship conference, I think, 8 out of those 9. And he's always been a real blessing to me personally, and I appreciate his willingness to spend some time with me and fellowship as well as in counsel several times. And even when things weren't going all that great, to call me and encourage me. And I appreciate him very, very much. And Brother House, you come on and speak to us.
Thank you, preacher. Brother Dan, you were right. He does tend to take up a lot of your preaching time, doesn't he? But whenever he's the boss, you just roll with the punches and take what's left. And I'm just delighted to be here today. I'm glad you're here. Looks like a different church from last year. And I'm glad. That's a very positive thing. And I'm just thrilled to be here. I want you to open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. That always puts a damper on a service when you announce that text. Malachi chapter 3. If you have trouble finding it, you're a New Testament person, just go to Matthew and back up a page or two, and you'll be at Malachi chapter 3. This is our stewardship time. Let me be the first to agree that stewardship involves much more than money. It involves all of life. Then let me put a P.S. on that. Jesus talked a whole lot more about the money part than he did into the rest of it. So it would behoove us to do the same. And God somehow has let giving become a part of my life message. I never did intend it that way, but in the purpose of God, it's happened. And in my opinion, nothing will change your life as much for the better. Nothing will change it as much for the better as biblical giving with biblical motives into a biblical concept, a biblical place. And we're going to talk about that this week. It'll affect every area of your life for good. It'll affect your home life. It'll affect your family life. It'll affect your financial life. It'll affect your work life. It'll affect your school life. It'll affect every part of your life for good, if you'll allow it to. I never was much on test. I didn't care for them particularly. Matter of fact, when I was in school, I'd go to school and somebody'd say, "Are you ready?" And I'd say, "Ready for what?" And they'd say, "The test." And I'd say, "What test?" I'm the only one. And a lot of them I didn't do good on because I didn't get ready for them, you know. But most Christians seem to be unaware that God gives us tests. How many of you, now this is not a trick question, just help me a little bit and we'll move right on because it won't affect you one way or another, just help me. How many of you get paid every week? Lift your hand. Okay. How many of you get paid every 2 weeks or twice a month? About the same thing. Okay. How many of you get it once a month? Get paid once a month. Okay. So in here, some of us get tested every week. And some of us get tested every 2 weeks. Some of us get tested once a month. And you that are not getting paid at all, you get tested all the time. That test comes every time we get paid. God tests us. He tests us on who we love, tests us on who we worship. He tests us on who do we give thanks to for what we receive. Now, some folks think Visa or MasterCard first. Some folks think the house note people first. Some folks think the car note people first. And they flunk the test. It's just, you know, we just don't do well on the test. And it's just an amazing thing. Now, the amazing thing is God turns it right around and says, "Now, you can test me also." Every week or every 2 weeks or once, God says, "Just go ahead and try me. Prove me." test me. It's the only time in the Bible God says, test me, try me, prove me. And it's just an amazing thing. Now note Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We began our reading. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. We might ought to stop there. I'm not sure it has anything to do with money, but I sure like the fact that that he announces who he is and he announces what he's not going to do. And he said, I'm not going to change. You say, well, is that important? It is if you read the rest of the verse, you know. But he just said, I'm not going to change. I won't do it. It's interesting to me that all the churches are changing and declining. And the ones that don't change are growing. If they go at it right, you see. But I'm glad he says I don't change, because that means that his word won't change. You don't have to be looking for a new word. And what he said won't change. I'm glad for that, because in the latter part of the verse he said, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The only reason that they were not consumed, the only reason you and I are not consumed, is because God said he wouldn't do it. So he won't do it. You just tie into that and hold on to that. He will not do it. Now verse 7. He's going to give the reason he should have. He's going to give you his potential for doing it. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. You don't hear much about the ordinances anymore, do you? Don't hear much preaching about it. We get the word ordinary out of that word. See, ordinance, you've left my ordinances. What's he saying? You've left the ordinary way of Christian living, which is what most Christians have done today. They've departed from the ordinances, from the ordinary way that God would have us to live and to give, and we need to understand that. And so he said, now I change not. Now, I'll tell you why he can't change. This is a secret. He can't change because he's perfect. And you can't improve perfect. That's the only reason you change, is to get better, right? Okay. And so he can't change. But he said, now you've left my ordinary behavior. And he goes on and says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now we've gone away from what's normal. We've gone away from the ordinance. He says, you better turn around now and come back to what's normal for Christians. To what's normal, Bible living and Bible giving. And it's quite interesting. How do we return to him? Well, I know we don't like this Old Testament book of Malachi, but if you'll read it, it'll take care of it, you know. Chapter 1, we return in our faith. Chapter 2, we return in our family. Chapter 3, we return in our finances. And chapter 4, God returns to us. So we could say amen now if we just do the returning, and we'd have a good meeting on the hand. All right. Now, the only reason I'd preach what I'm going to preach to you is because it'll help you. It will bless you. It's what we all need to hear. It'll change your life. And somebody said, well, preacher, the problem is you're over there in the Old Testament. I know, let me read you something out of the Old Testament. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And I hear it all the time, and I know you folks who have anything to do with it like this do. But somebody said, well, you know, that's in the Old Testament. And with giving as much a part of my ministry as it is, I sometimes think, now, Lord, you could have put that in the New Testament, and it'd solve a lot of problems. I mean, you just missed it by 15 verses. You could have moved it 15 verses, and I could have said, look, it's New Testament. Amen. But he said, no, it's a test, so we're going to leave it in the Old Testament. Testing. It's really quite interesting when you think about it. Now, let me just settle this for you. We do have a Old Testament and a New Testament. We do not have an old God and a new God. I am the Lord. I change not. not getting anywhere with it, but it's right. You know? And so he put it here in the Old Testament right where he wanted, because God can't change, and when he says things like that, it doesn't change either. So notice, just for the time the preacher left me, notice for just a few minutes. Number one, tithing is a test. See, that's that tenth that it talks about, that we're to return to God, we're to pay back to God. It identifies as a testing time. For how many plagues did God put on Egypt? 10. Tested Pharaoh 10 times. Time of testing. How many commandments are there? 10. Yep. And how many times did Jacob's wages, how many times did Laban change Jacob's wages? 10. And how many disciples are there? Well, I'm just checking. Just trying to see if you were listening. I didn't know. I mean, you can't ever tell for sure. But see, God developed tithing. Now, you don't think God needs the money, do you? God developed tithing to test us and to give us a chance to make a passing grade. And you know, for some folks, the money's the biggest test. And the money is the biggest problem. And it ought not be that way. You know, it's a struggle for some Christians. The money thing is a real, valid struggle in their life. Now, if you're struggling with it, I don't want you to feel bad about it, and I don't want you to feel put down about it. We all struggle about different things. But for the money thing, now that's pretty simple for me. See, I was born in Arkansas. You hold the applause. And for folks born in Arkansas, things are either extremely simple or we don't get them. I got this one. Now, let's see if I can help you with it. Verse 9. Verse 8 said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. Okay. Now, verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Now, all the way through the Bible, when you find this giving thing going on, it's always they bring it to the Lord's house. And the tithe has to be undesignated. Somebody says, well, I like to designate my tithe. But you're wrong. It's not your tithe. It's God's tithe. You can't designate what's not yours. Okay, that was simple. See, I get the simple stuff. But now watch. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, here's the way folks from Arkansas get it. Verse 8, don't tithe. Verse 9, cursed. Verse 10, bring the tithes. Verse 10, blessed. Now, let me simplify it. Don't tithe, cursed. Tithe, blessed. Now, I know that's hard, but I'm going with the tithe every time. See, I mean, it ought not be difficult. You say, well, that'd be good if it were true. It's in the Word of God. He said, I change not. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that, you know. And so tithe equal blessed. No tithe equal cursed. See, some of you don't know what's causing your financial difficulty. And I'm trying to help you with it. Now, I know what's coming. I hear it murmuring out there already. You know, said, well, tithing's under the law. Well, it sure was. And way before the law. And still today after the law, you know. But you say, well, no, tithing's under the law, and I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, therefore I don't have to tithe. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. Let's assume that the law thing, let's assume you were right. So, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Now, stealing was under the law, so I'm not under the law, I'm under grace, it's all right to steal. And lying, thou shalt not, was that law? Lie. Well, that's under the law, I'm under grace, so I can lie, and that'd be all right. We could just go on and on and on. You don't want to, do you? But now let's get it absolutely ridiculous. If it was wrong under the law, then is it right under grace? Of course not. But let's go one further. If it was right under the law, could it still be right under grace? Absolutely. You know, just get it. You're not getting it. Tithe equal curse. No tithe equal curse. Tithe equal blessed. That's the way it goes, you see. And we need to understand. This law and grace thing, it ought not be that hard. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. It's just over a page or two there. We'll look just a moment here. Jesus is teaching in Matthew 5 and verse 17. I guess this law thing kept coming up. Somebody kept bringing it up. And he said in verse 17, Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, what? These law things, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, just to help you, because you try to make a bunch of stuff there that you shouldn't, look at verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now help me. What was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees based on? The law. Pure law. And Jesus says to the grace people, except your righteousness exceed theirs, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he's going to explain it, because someone said, oh, verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of the old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, you know. And he goes on, and he gets over to verse 27. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That was law. But I say unto you that you don't even think about it. Yeah, that's what it says. That whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery. So now you tell me, did grace do away with law or did grace elevate it? Sure it did. Amen. So if you're not under law, you really ought not tithe. You ought to do more. Amen. Well, it's your argument. It's not mine. If you are not under law, and you're not, and you're under grace, grace elevated everything. No longer do we have to kill to have judgment. We can just get angry without cause, the Bible said. Jesus said. Or we don't have to commit adultery. We can just look and lust. We can just think about it. And so if I were you, I'd drop that law grace argument and just go above it. Why? Because, number one, tithing is a test. Number two, tithing is biblical. Tithing is biblical. Now, we're just going to breeze through some stuff. You need not try to turn there. You can jot it down to check me out, but you're not going to have time to turn there. In Genesis 14, verse 18, Abraham came up against Melchizedek. And just an amazing thing happened. He gave a tithe of all 500 years before the law. It's just an amazing thing. Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, Jacob met with the Lord out there and had such an experience that so affected him, he pledged right then to start giving a tenth to the Lord 400 years before the law. Leviticus 27, the tithe is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. And it's an amazing thing when you begin to read it. You know, you can go to Deuteronomy 26, and we're not going to have time to do that. But he talks about, then verse 1 and 2, they took the first of the land. By the way, the tithe never is the last. It's always the first. We'll hear more about that this week if you'll come back. And He talks about the holy tithe. And then he says the most amazing thing. He said, I took it from my house to your house. That's the way it always goes. See, God's tithe doesn't belong in our house. It always belongs in His house. And somebody said, oh, that's all the Old Testament stuff. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's all New Testament. And so if you get over there to Matthew 23, if you've got a red letter Bible, now this is in red. This big time stuff, it's in red. And it's the most amazing thing. Let's turn over there. I'm going to give you time on that one because this ought to settle it all. And we'll just look at it for a moment. Jesus he's still discussing this stuff with them. And in verse 23 of chapter 23 of the book of Matthew, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, did you get it? He said, now, you pay tithe of the mint, the anise, the cumin. You've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done. Here's my question. If Jesus says you ought to do something, would you do it? I mean, if the one who saved you, redeemed you, bought you back, if the God of heaven said you ought to do something, would you do it? Well, he said here, you ought to do that. Somebody says, well, now, preacher, you just read it, and that refers to judgment, mercy, and faith. Well, now, that's not even grammatically correct for you to come up with that, much less theologically. But let's assume that it did. Let's assume when he said, this ought you to have done. Let's assume that it had to do with judgment, mercy, and faith. I can accept that if you'll read the last part of the verse. And not to leave the other undone. Now, what is the other? That tithe. So you just any way you go at it, you know, Jesus said this you ought to do, and that settles it for me. I am going to tithe. Forget it. And you know, it doesn't say one thing in here about God going to do something good for you. It just said, this ought you to do. Don't leave it undone, you see. And so it's a biblical concept. And in Hebrews chapter 7, you have one of those theophanies, you know, and Jesus showed up again. And all that tenth giving started. And the most amazing thing, you wind up with a man in heaven receiving our tithe. Isn't that something? I can tell it's impressing you. Let me give you a third and final thought then. Now, I'm going to cut you some slack and get you out. I want you back tonight. What I want to talk about tonight, it's all a matter of the heart. Now, tithing is a test. Many folks failing the test. Now get it. Tithing equals blessed. Not tithing equals cursed. Tithing is a test. Tithing is biblical. And number three, tithing is beneficial. I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. This is the only time I've really asked you to turn, so please do it for me. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We're talking about it's a benefit. Now look at verse 4 when you find it. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 4. Hezekiah is going through some religious upgrading here. And it starts in verse 4. And he said, moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion. You might want to underline that. It's going to get explained here in a little bit. The portion of the priest and Levites. Now give the portion of the priest and Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Now again, you've got to get your grammar right or you'll think it encourages the priest and the Levites for folks to give. it doesn't benefit us. The subject is the people. Moreover, he commanded the people. They give the portion that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. You ever go to church somewhere and you leave and you have people say, "Well, man, I didn't get fed. I mean, they didn't have anything. I mean, there was no spiritual food there." Well, somebody's probably not paying the tab. You ever go to a restaurant and leave hungry? Or did you ever go to a restaurant and eat and leave without paying? Well, somebody paid. And what he's saying here is what you need to do is bring the portion, give the portion, bring it to the priest and free him up for the study of the Word of God and for prayer, so when you go, you can get fed. It's really quite interesting that they might be encouraged, the people might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And so the thing is all tied together there. See, there are two distinct testimonies over the last now on 50 years. I hear two distinct testimonies about tithing. I hear this one from the tithers. We are so blessed of God. And I hear this one of the non-tithers. We just can't afford to tithe. We're broke. Our bills are more than our income. We would tithe if we could, but we can't. Two distinct, one blessed, the other cursed. Two distinct testimonies happens all the time. Now, you don't need a Greek nor Hebrew scholar to explain that kind of stuff to you. I mean, that's just pretty simple. See, what needs to happen, some folks need to downsize their living style so they can get under the blessings of God and let God do what He said He would do over there, open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Now, let's go on in our reading here to verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad. Now what is the commandment? Bring the portion to the priest and the Levites. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits. You want to mark that? Of corn, wine, oil, and honey. And all the increase of the field, and my goodness, here it is. And the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. The tithe of all things brought they in. See, you're not going to find in the Bible where they give tithes. They bring tithes. You give offerings. You bring tithes. You bring it back to its owner. They brought in abundantly. And concerning the children, verse 6, concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelled in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. Now this is some heavy language here, so we're going to have to get ready for this heap stuff. They started bringing it in, heaping it up. Got it? They're making heaps out of the tithe. Okay, you want to hang on to that because that'll open up everything to you when these big words come up in a minute. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him. Now, I'm sorry. Let me back up to my verse there where I backed off. Verse 7 now. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes saw the heaps. Now, old Hezekiah is the one that commanded the people to start bringing the portion. And when they saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and His people Israel. And then Hezekiah got worried about them. I mean, he said, "You know, man, they piling all this stuff up here. People are going to starve to death. They can't do this." So verse 9, then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, watch very carefully, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord. Now, if I were you, I'd mark that. This is when it started. Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, where did they take it? To the house of God. How did it get there? They brought it. said, we have enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people. For that which is left is this great store. Now, it's pretty simple. When did the blessing start? When they started tithing. When they brought the tithe, the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have enough to eat and have plenty left, and the Lord hath blessed his people. You see, it's just a pretty simple thing. Let me explain it, and I'll be through. Let me suppose that I pick three men in here, and I would not do it because you wouldn't cooperate with me. And I brought them up here, and I said, okay, now I'm going away. I'm going to be gone for some time. And what I want to do, I'm going to send you three. I'm going to send Joe and Bill and Jack. I'm going to send each of you $10,000 every month. You can count on it. $10,000 a month. Here's what I want you to do. Before you do anything else, Bill, Jack, and Joe, I want you, each of you, to give $1,000 to my wife, Wanda, to take care of my wife, my bride. And they agree. The $9,000, now you use that as you feel directed to do. But now that first thought, you give that to my bride. So a few months passed, and I called my bride. I said, how the guy's doing on the money thing? Pretty carnal sounding, isn't it? It's a test. How they doing on the money thing? I said, well, old Joe said, I don't know really what it is, but he brings $2,000 every month, and he just tickled death to it. Said he just loves you so much for sending him $10,000 that he seems to get more done with the $8,000 than he would with the $9,000. Said he brings $2,000, and said Bill, every month he's faithful to bring $1,000. I said, well, what about Jack? Any Jacks in here? You ain't about to admit it now, are you? There's one. Said, well, the first month Jack brought $700. Second month, he brought $400. I hadn't seen him since then. Now, guess what I am about to do with Jack? Are you paying attention? I'm about to cut Jack off. I ain't going to send him $10,000 anymore. I am going to send it to somebody, though. Guess which one of the other two I'm going to send it to? I'm going to send it to the one that was given $2,000 to take care of my bride. You know why? Because I can trust him. He passed the test. That's all there is to it. It's a test. I got plenty of money. I don't need them. I can take care of my bride. I can take care of my bride. But this is the way I test the kids. See if they'll do what they ought to do. Yeah. See, when you understand this, you realize how personal this is to Christ. Every payday, he gives us a test. And every payday, he says, you can test me now and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. So I guess I ought to start by, I finished by asking, did you pass the test today? Will you pass it next week? End of the month? Now, don't need the money. Bride will get by. But you're going to fail the test. And you're going to wind up. No tithe equals cursed versus tithe equals blessed. Man, if a hillbilly from Arkansas can get it, you Texans ought to get it in a minute. Huh? Just plain, simple, true. I am the Lord. I change not. If I change, you'd be consumed in a minute. It's just because of the fact that I don't change. You're not consumed. He said, "You, from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. You've been going the wrong way, the wrong, thinking it was for your good when it was for your wrong all the time." You bow your head, please. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. God's a good God that wants to save and bless. Now, if you're here this morning, in this good church, this growing church, this blessed church, And you're an unsaved person. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You just don't need to be paying a bit of attention to what I said are worried about this tithing and giving stuff, you've got one thing you ought to be concerned with. You say, well, the economy is a big issue right now, preacher, and money is a big thing. I know it is. But Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if you're sitting here today, the God of mercy has brought you to this place. And today, by a simple act of faith, you can repent of your sins toward God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You can walk out of here knowing if you died today, heaven would be your home. See, be saved, be blessed in that area. I wonder who's sitting here today. You said, preacher, I'm here in church today. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to get things straight. But the honest truth, the honest fact is, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I am not sure I'm a saved person. But preacher, if I could know for sure that I could go to heaven if I died, I'd like to know it. And I wish you'd pray for me. Anyone here like that? Just slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I sure would pray for you. Be happy to you. Be honored to. Anyone, man, woman, boy, or you say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But if I could be, I'd like to. Just slip your hand up. No one will embarrass you. All right. Anyone else? All right. I want to pray for the one that lifted their hand in just a moment. Now I need to talk to Christians. How about it? Don't say what test. You know what test I'm talking about now. The Bible makes it plain. Are you passing the test? First thing some of you ought to do to get this week started off right is just say, okay, I'm going to do what the Bible said do. I'm going to bring my tithe and my offerings into God's house so that He can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. We're going to have an invitation hymn. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand, those that can and are able to. I'm going to pray, and then it'll be test time. Somebody said, but preacher, I'm not tithed in a long, long time. Do I have to make it all up? Now, my understanding in the Bible is it never has been about restitution on that spiritual end. It's been about repentance. And I think all you have to do is repent of that sin of not tithing and take up doing right. I think that'll get you in good standing with the Lord. I think that'll take the curse off and bring the blessing on. Heavenly Father, help us now. The ones here that are not sure that they'd go to heaven if they died, I pray that today they'd just step out from where they are, walk the aisle, let someone here take a Bible and show them carefully and kindly what the Bible says is necessary in order to go to heaven. I pray for Christians who are struggling with the money thing, who haven't quite got it where I pray that today could be the day that they find liberty and freedom from the bondage of money. Use this time together. May no one be rushed. May there be no moving about other than those that have a part in the services. And may your blessing be upon every person here in Jesus' name.